Steve, anything you or anyone on, in the team would like to start with? I got lots to cover, but I always want to know what's on your y'all's mind.
Bree said no. Wilson is eager to learn. I have thoughts based on your agenda. Thank you for your time on the comp call. I haven't done anything yet just because we did on Thursday and I just haven't sat down. We had
stuff. That's just fine. All right. Since our last conversation, Steve, what's the best thing that's happened in your practice?
I don't know. What do you guys say?
What was the question?
What's the best thing that happened to us in the last 2 weeks?
The question is, over the last 2 weeks, tell me something good that's happened in your practice.
I don't know. We had people bring money in.
Marilyn Bucks was so happy with me, she was crying.
Yeah, we have a client that actually is crying about how good Wilson and Bree are to her.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wilson, Bree, tell me, just briefly, what is it that you've done that makes a woman that emotional?
It's been a lot of hand-holding. I'll say, I've told Steve this, when I talk to her, she runs the call. It's out of my control, and I just let her talk. She did lose her brother a couple months ago, and so we're helping her consolidate his accounts.
And they're everywhere.
And they are everywhere. There's a girlfriend involved who has some accounts, so it's a very emotional piece. And she's always been, I think she and her husband are one of Steve's early clients. He goes down and has dinner with them, the first client. And I believe they've referred a lot of business to Steve, but it's nice to be able to have the impact of people that may necessarily look to speak to Steve most of the time.
You couldn't do it?
I tried.
You couldn't?
What?
Get him to buy something?
Well, we're $35,000 more in bonds, so.
Dig it.
Yeah.
So we're getting new fees.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And Sam just sold something.
All right.
Hey, morning. Wilson, was that you talking a second ago?
It was.
Okay, Wilson, I want you to guess what I'm going to talk about. I want to just talk about for a second. The best time to start a referral conversation is when value is given and value is recognized by the client. This is big time, an example of that. Now, you've got to be appropriate with it. You don't do it every time. So this client has given you a lot of confirmation of value you had, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's pretend it's the appropriate time. I'm the client, and I say, I don't think I could have gotten through all of this without your help. I get emotional about it. What's your response?
To validate her reaction, so to say, thank you for appreciating what we do for you and how emotional it makes you.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate you sharing that with me. Thank you for saying that. That's confirmation that you're hearing it. Thank you for saying that. We get a great deal of pleasure helping people get through situations like this. All right? And then what's the next thing you say if it's appropriate?
If she can think of anyone else that would like to get that sort of pleasure service from us. That didn't quite sound right.
I think I would want to reload on that one, but you always bring what they just complimented you on into the next sentence. Thank you for saying that. We work really hard to provide that type of service. Is there anyone else you know who would appreciate that type of whatever they've complimented you on. She says, gosh, I know what you're saying. I'm drawing a blank. If it's appropriate, you say, do you have a minute to brainstorm? Sure, I'm happy to help you. Well, anybody you can think of that you go to church with, you play golf with, you travel with, you play, okay, whatever. No, I'm still drawing a blank. Your response, thanks for thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you. Pretty simple, right?
Yes.
Okay, you're asking to help. The little change in thought process is you're not doing one of these, you know anybody else I need to be talking to. You're offering to help other people around what the client has recognized as value. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
Okay, it's about helping other people. And you planted the seed. And you the total follow-through here is you go to that folder and you make a note on your referral tracking page, talk to Mrs. Jones on December 17th, went through VIPSA, she drew a blank, and next time you talk to Mrs. Jones, you may say, you remember that conversation we had back in December, has anybody else come to mind? Now, I've never heard a better story of a recognition of value than what you've just told me. I've heard a lot of really good ones. This is right there with them. As we used to say in Texas, this is a bird nest on the ground. You want to take advantage of it. Got it?
Got it. I have a call with her today at 1.
Okay. Now, again, it has to be a pro. You don't force it. You don't bludgeon people. I don't suspect that you would. But it's there's just too much. You're offering too much value here to not get fully paid for what you've done. And by fully paid, I mean getting referrals. All right.
Perfect.
All right. It is perfect. It's almost perfect. Good job, Bree. Good job, Wilson. Okay. I talked about it before, but today I'd like to spend a little more time on the niche expansion area of
Can I interrupt?
Yes, please.
Can I interrupt again? So my issue is getting referrals and getting connected versus getting the right referrals has been something that I've held back on because I've been nervous about getting a lot of numbers. Not about getting what we want.
Here's that's a great question. Here's the answer. When this script, for lack of a better word, assumes that the client knows that you have a minimum. One of the things that through this process, as you've built the relationship and as you've rolled out your Supernova practice and so on, is I've made some refinements to my practice. One of those is I have established a minimum for new business. So that's the assumption is they know that you have a minimum. If you think you're too far into this to go back and tell them that you have a minimum, then you talk to the client, you talk to the referral, and if it's obvious that they don't fit what you do, you can refer them on to somebody in your office who you know will do a good job for the referral. You with me?
So now, and that's... So now take it to the next step. I have a minimum, and then I'm going to ask about the team. I have a minimum. How does it not come across? If it doesn't fit me, we're going to pass them off to somebody else.
Another great question is the response to the client is, I have a minimum, and here's why. I have to control the growth of my practice. I can never let the growth of my practice compromise the service I give to my existing clients. Make sense?
Next issue.
Go ahead.
Sam and I are at different places in our career.
Yeah.
Right? So what gets me excited is different than what gets him excited.
For sure.
Actually, what gets him excited doesn't get me excited, and what gets me excited gets him really excited.
Right? I'm with you. Yep.
So I can very easily say that I have to control the growth of the clients that I personally serve, my team member. How do you language that piece where I'm going to dump you on my team member? And B, how am I not overloading the team with lots of other clients?
Well, you have one minimum for the team, Steve. It doesn't make any sense to us that this referral can get in through Sam, can get into the team, but they can't come in through dealing with you. That's a confusing message. But more importantly, you do have to control the size of your practice. You can't take on everybody. So, what's the minimum? Your absolute minimum for you, Steve?
We've established at around $5 million, even though my absolute minimum is $1 million, unless there's an extenuating circumstance such as liquidity event, inheritance, or something. Blah blah.
Well, if you understand the mixed signal that sends if they can get into the practice through Sam but not through you?
Yes.
So my response would be Sam's minimum is the same as your minimum. Now, if again, let's go back and you languaged this a second ago. My minimum is X unless there are extenuating circumstances. If you've got somebody who is a CEO wants to bring in $500,000 and he makes, $4 million a year and has stock options and all that, that's an extenuating circumstance. But for you to bust the team's minimum for a $500,000 relationship, I don't think that's what the team's about.
So then how do you language, fine, so he's thinking, your poker face is horrible. How do you then language, I'm going to dump you on my partner because you don't fit my criteria?
So you're going to, you're dumping them to Sam, or are you sending them outside of your practice?
I'm sending them to Sam, but not me. And then I'm going to ask about the outside person. So keep going.
Well, what you're telling me is you're asking me to answer the question of what do I tell the client or the prospect if I'm sending them to Sam instead of doing it myself. Am I right?
I understand.
Yeah, we're back to the same thing. You know, you really, Steve, you're building something special, and to have a minimum of $1 million in the environment, I don't think there's a lot of people out there who fit. So I wouldn't bust the minimum. But if you're referring outside of your practice of the team, then the response is our team has a minimum of $1 million. I've got a good friend who works here. His minimum is 500. I know he'd do a great job. May I have him give you a call?
That means we gotta go find that person.
And you know, Steve, again, and there's nothing wrong. There are probably a lot of folks in your office who would accept a $500,000 relationship, right?
Yeah, we gotta go find them.
And here's why you gotta be able to enthusiastically endorse them. You also, there's nothing wrong keeping a percentage of that business for a period of time. Now, always remember that if you're partnering with somebody, you've got a joint number on it, you're responsible compliance-wise for that relationship, just like the FA who's doing it, managing it on a day-to-day basis.
So you would say just pass it off?
I'm saying if you've got to do your homework and make sure you've got somebody that you trust to do that.
Okay. I will internalize. You can see where I've been struggling.
Yeah, but yes, I do. But this is you've got capacity in the team. You want to spend that capacity on existing clients and getting referrals from them. I would rather see you say you have a minimum of $500,000 and keep it, rather than say I've got a minimum of $1 million, but I'll make an exception for you.
I think some of this takes pressure off of Sam to want to have smaller once we start getting a transition program in place.
What takes pressure? Not opening.
Well, we talked about transferring accounts that are existing off of my plate onto Sam. Or whoever. I think if that starts happening, it takes pressure off of others to start accepting accounts below the minimum.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, we're talking about this minimum being for new business. That doesn't mean that you've got to offload $500,000 relationship that Sam's responsible for. All right.
I think we're good. We good?
All right.
We're good.
All right. All right. Okay. Anything else?
You? We're good.
All right. All right. Let's go to the niche expansion. What's a niche? A niche is a group of clients who have a common profession, have a common interest. Professions could be business owners, entrepreneurs, medical professionals, etc. I once had an FA who had a niche of he was a deep sea fisherman. Used to take people, meet people that way. You usually enjoy the niches that are in your practice, and the key to that is getting to know whatever that niche is really well. If it's business owners, you want to know, really understand as best you can what makes a business owner tick, what they need, so on and so forth. So on Sunday night, I sent you a niche expansion script. Do you have that in front of you?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to go over that.
I'm going to hit print because everyone added in their email and not one person showed up with it.
Well,
hold on.
All right. I sent it Sunday night.
I know, but you would think in the next last 3 days I would have hit print. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's printing.
I'm okay. Tell me when to start.
Wilson's getting it, so it could be 3 minutes.
It's snowing here.
Say it again?
It's not really snowing. It was.
right.
Okay, let's. You should have something in front of you. It says niche expansion, and then it starts with you tell a client. Is that what you got in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay. You got a client who's a niche, and real estate and things that feed up into real estate is one of your niches. You tell the client, you ask for advice. One of the ways that you influence people, and I'm not talking about manipulating people, but influence people is by asking for their advice. If I called anyone and said, we're trying to upgrade some of the things we're doing, could you give me some advice? I don't think anybody on this call who would, that was anything but positive. You don't ask people for advice if you don't respect their opinion. So you say, Bill, do you have a few minutes to give me some advice? And the client is going to say, sure. And you say, I would like to add more business owners to my more people in the real estate industry to my practice. And you say, because you all have complex needs, you're in a dynamic profession, you're used to making decisions, and you need my advice. That's why I enjoy dealing with people in the real estate business. And then you say, does it make sense to you that I would add more people in real estate to my practice? And then you shut up. Now, it's more than likely they're going to say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And your response is, well, here's the advice part. If you were me, how would you go about getting more people who are in the real estate business? You got that, Steve?
Yes.
All right. So if they say, well, I don't have any ideas, I understand what you're asking me, but nothing really comes to mind, your response is, thanks for thinking about it. Never forget, I'm never too busy to help people like you. That sounds eerily familiar to how you close the business script also. So the worst outcome you're going to have is that you planted a seed that you'd like to have more people in the real estate business in your practice. So very simple process. You all have identified that as an area you want to expand. A simple script. I'll just go through the script again. Sam, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, Sam, I want you to you got the script in front of you. I want you to play Sam, and I'm going to play Bill. Go.
All right. Bill, do you have a few minutes to give me some advice?
Gosh, sure, Sam. What do you need?
I enjoy working with people in the real estate arena. I would like to add more people to my practice. You all have very complex needs, are in a dynamic business, are creative, and generally need my help. Does it make sense to you to add more people in real estate to my practice?
Sure, I can understand why you'd want to do that.
If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more people in your profession or business that are connected to real estate?
Well, Sam, nothing's coming to mind. I know what you're asking me, but nothing's coming to mind right now.
Well, thank you for thinking about it, and just know I'm never too busy to help people like you.
Okay, now I want you to go back up to where you're asking me, if you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more people? I want you to go back to that.
If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of more people like you?
Well, it's interesting you would ask. I have breakfast once a month with some friends of mine who are really involved in the real estate business. You want to come join us for breakfast next Wednesday?
Absolutely. I think that would be a wonderful opportunity to meet some of your friends, and I appreciate the invite.
Okay. So, Sam, you came across as a little bit stiff, but it should be because you haven't practiced it before. You see how you can work this in if there's a niche. You all have identified three niches. Here's a way that you want to grow. Here's a way to do that. Any questions?
Is this something you can do, Bree? Now, you're not built to do this, but I'm very curious. And I didn't say you have to do this like that, but...
Maybe at some point.
Because I know last week you took off for Joe's last day and you took business cards.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot different than a year ago. So, Bree had the ability to meet people departing a company last week as she helped her husband leave, and she took a bunch of business cards. Bree is not of the hunting mentality, but she stepped outside her comfort zone. So if I were to say, what did she do in the last 2 weeks that was big, I could argue that was it.
Well, getting outside of your comfort zone, as you know, Steve, is really important. That's how your comfort zone grows. What we've done here was talking about the niche expansion speech and then talking about BIPSA. Those are tools that they just become part of your toolbox. When there's a opportunity, you don't let it go by. Now, let me just one other thing on your almost every niche has a publication specific to that niche. Just to make a point, there's a website, pitandquarry.com. That's people who own quarries, rock quarries. You say, why would they have a magazine? I don't know. I looked at it. You go to pitandquarry.com. You can see what they do and their people's names and so on. I would bet there are a lot of publications that are specific to the real estate market. There's a website. The website is freetrademagazine.com. See a lot of niches there. So I would just, again, one of the things about the niche is you really get to know that niche and you become fluent. Very, very important. Any questions on the niche expansion script?
What did you think of our pitch book?
I like your pitch book, Steve. I've made quite a few notes on the pitch book. Some of them are fairly simple, but some of them are just looking pretty. So I've got a couple of minutes. If you want to go through it? I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but I could hit a couple of pages, or we could do it next time.
Why don't you just scan it and send it? And if we don't like what you said, we'll ignore it.
Well, I will send it. I'm not sure that you're going to get all my scribbling, but I will scan it to you and give me a call if you want to talk about it.
Well, I'm curious. What were the big things?
There's not anything really big. For example, on the second page where you've got We Listen, We Care, I would reverse those. I think We Care starts before We Listen. That's, again, that's a personal thing. Under the We Care thing where you've got Building Strong Bonds, I took the word cheer out. It just seemed a little... It just didn't fit for me. Under We Serve, you know, I've changed about the service model. What you've got, our service model is built around the scheduled calls, of which four are specifically about investments, two faces, all blah blah blah. Our service model is regularly scheduled contact, quarterly reviews, and in-person meetings. I just thought that was more concise. But what my experience is about the less there is, the more I read it. I just thought that was a little more brief. So, you know, there's a couple of, on page three, doing business with integrity. The W, in my mind, should not be capitalized. My mom was an English teacher. I guess I'm sensitive to that. So it's little things. On page four, you talk about mitigating risk. I didn't know if that was no. It was that's not it. I scratched that. Let me go on to the next one. Page five. I don't really understand the page. I understand it, but I'm not sure it accomplishes a purpose with the client. So let me, I'll scan this to you. I don't know how to scan up to page at a time. So I will get that to you sometime today.
Thank you very much.
It's hard. From an eyesight point of view, you know, on the right-hand side where you testify the margin?
Yeah.
I think that looks neater. I'm looking at page five specifically. I think that would look better if that were all, you know, it was all justified. But, again, that's a personal preference. So I'll shoot these things to you.
Thank you.
Okay. What I'd love for you to do is when now and the next time we talk, continue to update your game board and try to use the VIFTA conversation and the niche expansion conversation. I want things to become, as I said a minute ago, just become part of your toolbox. Anything else?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Talk to you next year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Bye. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.